Today we conclude our journey of the blind guide parabolic paradigm. Jesus is teaching on leadership and how leadership is enacted in this world. And as we've been taking this journey throughout the course of the scriptures, the essence, the heart of Jesus Christ's teaching we find is in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. It has become for us that which is a verse of reflection, almost a memory verse, as it were, that has entrenched the concepts of these teachings in our hearts and our minds. Let's go to it this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse 39 in our Bibles. We're going to the Gospel of Luke as we revisit this teaching of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, what verse did I say, everyone? 39. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, we've discovered that this is the Sermon on the Plain. This is after Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mount. And as Luke captures this pericope of Scripture, in the midst of these Beatitudes, in the midst of these most important teachings of Jesus Christ to humanity, Luke specifies that this one among them is unique. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, Luke records this. If we're all there in our Bibles, please say amen. Luke 6, verse 39, Luke writes that Jesus spoke a what, everyone? A parable unto them, and it was this. Can the blind do what? Lead the blind. Jesus says, if they do, will they not both fall into the where, everyone? Into the ditch. We understand that there is only one other recorded instance of Scripture of Jesus recounting or expressing these words. It's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. And it is done there, it would seem that it's a slight reprimand or a rebuke, but Luke, in designating it as a parable, expresses to us that it is much more than that. It is a teaching. What word did I say? A teaching which was meant to be conveyed and adhered to. And as such, when we've studied this teaching over the course of the past 7 weeks, we've discovered that Jesus said that figurative or symbolic vision, figurative or symbolic awareness and self-reflection are essential to effective leadership. Secondly, we understood that Jesus was expressing that figurative or symbolic blindness disqualifies its possessor from the ability to provide the most effective forms of guidance. If you are figuratively or symbolically unaware of what you're like, who you are, where we are in Earth's history, you can still lead, but you're not going to be a good one. And Jesus tells us, lastly, that if we try to lead others in that figurative or symbolic blindness, with that poor symbolic or figurative self-awareness or reflection, we will lead others into a ditch. We will adversely affect the lives of other people. Therefore, it behooves us to take note to what Jesus is saying and understand the depths of what it means. Can you say amen? We've talked about our natural inclination as leaders to resist leadership, to say, well, since I don't want to lead anyone into a ditch, I'm going to walk away. But we've discovered that each and every one of us is a leader. Amen? Whether you're a pastor, a police officer, a governor, a teacher, whether you're a single mom or a young adult that is responsible to no one else but yourself, all of us are guiding or governing someone or something. All of us can be the CEO of our own company at bare minimum. And we can lead ourselves to success, or we could lead ourselves to destruction. And friends, I don't know about you, but I want to be marching to Zion. Can you say amen? So we want to know what Jesus is saying. And as we discover what Jesus is saying, we understand over the course of the past 7 weeks that not only was there a direct teaching of Jesus Christ in the area of leadership, contrary to much leadership theory that is profligated today, but also we've discovered trace elements of that teaching and object lessons are found in other biblical narratives, interactions, and leadership principles that are found in the letters of Jesus Christ's disciples. We saw first and foremost in John chapter 9 several weeks ago that as Jesus healed a man who was born blind, John contrasted that with the pride of the Pharisees. As that man's sight came to him, he believed more in Jesus Christ. But as the Pharisees saw the miracles of Jesus Christ, more and more they rejected Jesus. And as they rejected Jesus in their pride, ultimately Jesus called them blind and said, if you were physically blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. We discovered in week one, Jesus was teaching to us the principle of humility. And as leaders, we must be humble. Secondly, in the next week, we discovered Jesus's seven woes to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And in the midst of those seven woes, five times Jesus calls them blind guides. Each time it was because they misprioritized the important things of God. And we discerned from that lesson that Matthew was teaching us the importance of being able to prioritize as leaders. In the next week, we studied the story of Bartimaeus. And while Bartimaeus was physically blind, he was the only one in all of the crowd that recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We discovered that week the importance of spirituality as leaders, and that good leaders can discern good from evil, bad from good, and they don't judge by appearance. We discovered that good leaders know that insight is more important than eyesight. Amen? Next week, we studied the road to Emmaus and how the disciples could not see Jesus right next to them. That their eyes, we are told in Scripture, were withheld from Jesus because they could not believe the Scriptures pertaining to the suffering of the Messiah. We discovered that week the principle of magnanimity. Jesus told those apostles, "Why are you sad?" And as leaders, very often, especially spiritual Christian leaders, we are going to encounter hardship and trial. And we have to face that trial with a smile. Amen? There are no praise exemptions. And we discover that Luke was teaching us the principle of magnanimity. In our consecutive week, we studied the blind man who was touched twice by Jesus because the first time he saw men as trees walking. And we discover that most leaders always want to cast their vision. But Jesus was teaching his apostles, it's more important for leaders to gain clarity. Amen? That we should listen more than we speak. That we should be lifelong learners as leaders. And that blind man who had a poor perspective of himself, he saw men as trees. He saw himself as inferior to everyone around him based upon his handicap. When Jesus touched him a second time, it gave him clarity in regards to his life and his mission and what he could accomplish. Last week, we studied Romans chapter 2, verse 17 through 24. And this is where we start getting into the letters of Jesus Christ's apostles. And we saw that the apostles themselves understood this paradigm, and they taught it to all of those who were their followers. We recall in Romans chapter 2, there was a controversy in the church taking place in regards to how people are saved. And as Paul confronted that controversy of righteousness by works, Paul said, for those of you who perceive yourselves to be a guide to the blind, because you teach salvation through the law, Paul asked the rhetorical question, do you break the law? Paul then said, if you do, and that's what you teach, it is because of you that God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Paul taught us last week the principle of reciprocity. That integrity, justice, and fairness are essential to good leadership. And as leaders, we must do unto others as they expect, as we would expect done unto us. Can you say amen today? Today, as we come to our conclusion, today we turn in our Bibles to the first epistle of John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Today we conclude the Blind Guide Parabolic Paradigm series, the teachings of Jesus Christ on leadership and his apostles. And as we conclude it today, we go in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Again, I'll be reading from the New King James Version today, 1 John chapter 2, and we'll begin in what verse, everyone? Verse 9 today. I'm in the New King James Version. When you are there in your Bible, please say amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, this is an epistle or a letter of John the Apostle of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. And this is what the Bible says to us. John writes, not only to those of his day, but to all of us right now here in Chandler. Verse 9, John says this. He who says he is in the what, everyone? The light, and does what? And hates his brother is in where? Is in darkness until now. Verse 10, John says this, but he who does what? Help me out, church. Loves his brother abides where? In the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Verse 11, John goes on to say this, but he who does what, everyone? Hates his brother is in where? Is in darkness and walks where? And does not know where he is going because the darkness has done what? It has blinded his eyes. Can you say amen? John was the last of Jesus Christ's apostles. And some scholars believe that the last letter of John was written around 90 AD. By that time, the church that John the Apostle knew was changing radically and it was being transformed. Paul said in regards to that church that a transformation would occur, that a change would take place. Paul said that when he left and the other apostles, grievous wolves would come in among the flock, scattering and not sparing some of the sheep. John, in regards to the church that he saw and knew, seeing that transformation taking place and occurring, he warned and admonished the church in regards to it. You see, something was happening to the body of Christ that John saw was not that which Christ intended. And in this first epistle of John, John notes it, and he says this in 1 John 2, verse 18. John says, dear children, this is the last hour. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, John says, even now, many who? Antichrists have already come. This, John says, is how we know it is in fact the last hour. You see, as John was dealing with his church, the church of Christ, that early church that was pure from the hand of Jesus, as Jesus had touched it and blessed it with the Holy Spirit, John saw that antichrists, or people who were transforming the word of Christ, or the plan of Christ, were slipping into the church with a different agenda. And John, wanting and praying for the church to be able to distinguish between the true manifestations of the apostolic gift and that which was false, John cited multiple instances in his epistle or his letter of what was true Christianity and what was false. One such instance we see here in John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Same letter, same epistle. John says, if someone claims that I know God, but does not obey God's what? Commandments, John, not Shane, says that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But John goes on to write, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as who did, everybody? Can you say amen to that? John wanted everyone to know what true Christianity and true leaders were, what they looked like as opposed to the false. You see, John had to learn true leadership from the false the hard way. John was a hard head. And for those of you who know John and his brother James, they were aggressive, we could say, in the sense of trying to share the gospel. The gospel tells us that one day as they traveled to Samaria, the Samaritans rejected Jesus, and John said, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire on these folk and burn them alive? Our loving Lord, patient and gracious as he is and was, he looked at John and said, John, you do not know the manner of spirit that you serve. And Jesus, in grace and compassion, later jokingly named John and James, the sons of Zebedee, these brothers, Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. They were sons of thunder, but God wanted them to be sons of God. Amen? They were too busy trying to call fire down on folk in the church as opposed to loving them in. Amen? But as John had the opportunity to live and minister and serve and learn at the feet of Jesus Christ throughout the course of Jesus Christ's 3.5-year ministry, something happened in the heart of this apostle. His heart and his life and his ministry were changed. They were transformed. And near the end of his life, as he was writing his letters around 90 AD, as he reflected back upon his life, who he was in Christ as a servant leader, he never once referred to himself as a son of thunder. Late in his life, he referred to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. Can you say amen? I want to be a disciple like that. Amen. And I believe today, beloved, that John was a disciple who Jesus loved because John got the message of love. And John taught the love of Jesus and shared the love of Jesus within whatever community he was at. He was special to Jesus because Jesus' messages of love and compassion and grace sunk in. And today, friends, as he taught love, today he teaches us through his epistle that those of us who do not love, we walk in darkness. Do you hear me today? And not only do we walk in darkness, John says that the darkness is so thick, so pronounced, so vivid, that not only does it not allow us to see where we are going, John says that darkness, in fact, it blinds our eyes. Today, friends, as we come to the 7th and final installment of the Blind Guide Parabolic Leadership Paradigm, today we come to the first linkage of leadership. And what word is that up there on the screen? Community. You see, very often as servant leaders, we think that the first linkage of leadership is our Twitter, is our Facebook, is our Skype, or our YouTube. You know, I know people in the secular business world who are all about networking. And for some reason, throughout the course of my life, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I have always had a disdain for that term. Networking. Networking is code word for using other people. Do you follow me? Huh? John and Jesus did not teach networking. They taught true love, which creates community. Can you say amen? And John says that if we hate other people, and notice John does not make a delineation. There is no gray area. There is no middle partition that we can walk. There is hatred or true, genuine love that proceed from the hearts of God that creates community in the church, which John cites as a true manifestation of the apostolic gift and the mantle of leadership. John says that this love creates what, friends? The first linkage of leadership is community. Community's leadership principle is this to us today. One thing that every good leader has is followers. Can you say amen? Do you believe that today? Do you think God has a few followers? Why do you think that is? John himself told us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. As John was dealing with all the problems in the church of people who were coming into the church because Christianity was coming into vogue, but they were not genuinely consecrated to God. As John delineated between the true and the false leaders, the true and the false apostles, John goes back to the source of leadership, which is God, and he distinguishes why God has so many followers. Not because he's such a great communicator or network. John says this. John says it's because God is what? Love. In the Bible, Scripture says that there are only two characteristics that it pins on God. Number one, that God is a spirit, meaning we can't take hold of him like this pulpit or another person. God is everywhere in the form or the being of a spirit. Just as we breathe in the air, everybody take a deep breath. And as the atmosphere of oxygen surrounds the earth, so it is that the Spirit of God is available to each and every one of us at every moment. But that Spirit is not a spirit of fear. It's not a spirit of timidity. It's not a spirit of harshness. It's not a spirit of persecution or tribulation. It is a spirit of what, everyone? Love. In fact, before Jesus Christ came to this world, God, three in one, was in a community of love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that community, love, friends, creates community. It multiplies. For all of you that are parents out there, why did you procreate? Because you needed someone to network with? We did so because we love. Amen? And we did so with no guarantees, no written contracts, no prenuptials with our children that they will behave, because they don't, do they? But out of love, we procreated, and we create community through love. Can you say amen? The people of God struggled with understanding who God is and what he was like. Just as John struggled with wanting to call down fire, many of the people of God struggled with creating community in their neighbors and demonstrated poor leadership. In order to undo the spiritual blindness that they had, Jesus taught them a parable, which Sasha taught to our children today. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus, in that parable, talked about a man who was on the road, who had been beaten and had his goods taken from him by thugs. And the religious priest from the people of God, and a Levite from the people of God, walked directly past this Samaritan who was outside, they believed, their sphere of influence. Directly past this dying man, but a pagan, heathen, unbeliever stopped and ministered mercy and compassion to that individual. And Jesus said to all those listening, who was the neighbor to that man? Friends of mine, I want to be a good neighbor. Can you say amen? Jesus calls for us as his servant leaders to create community wherever we go. And Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, that this will be the distinguishing characteristic among the world that we are his disciples. In our evangelism, and we have evangelism coming up, we'll talk about two characteristics we espouse as Seventh-day Adventists. That we keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. But Jesus himself said, here is a characteristic that people will know you are the true church. If you do what? Love one another. That is the first link of leadership. Love that creates community. Can you say amen? Everywhere that Jesus Christ went, he created community. Jesus associated with tax collectors, simple fishermen, even prostitutes who were disdained by the people of that time. And as Jesus did so, he was hated by the unconsecrated for it. All of the religious leaders of his day wanted Jesus dead because he befriended sinners. I wonder today, friends in the church, how many of us are willing to befriend sinners? But Jesus, despite the popular consensus of the religious ilk, despite what all of the supposedly important religious folk thought, Jesus gave this profound statement, and he said this in Luke 7:35. Jesus said, in regards to his fellowship with all of those outside of the nation of Israel, he said that wisdom is proved right by all of her children. Can you say amen? And you know what? People who have looked back on the life of Jesus Christ with introspection have shown and demonstrated that Jesus was right. One of which was Napoleon Bonaparte. And in Burchin's memoirs, written back in Paris in 1844, Napoleon himself said this about Jesus Christ. He said, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself have all founded great empires, but upon what did the creations of our genius depend? He says, Napoleon says, military force. But when he looks upon the life of Jesus, this great military leader said, Jesus alone founded his empire on what? On love. And to this day, Napoleon says millions would die for him. Do you believe it today? How many of us would lay down our life for Jesus? Can you say amen today? You see, as a leader, we are, like Jesus, called to be friends of sinners. And the first linkage of leadership is not social media. It's not superficial relationships or connections. It's the genuine love of God that creates community. Can you say amen? Because one thing every good leader has is followers. Who are you going to lead, beloved, if no one likes you? Help me out, somebody. Who are you going to lead if everyone you know has a disdain for the type of person that you are? Because the type of person that you are is not the person that you are called to be in Christ. You see, Jesus Christ and His Spirit, His working, His manifestation in our lives should cause a transformation in us that the world can see. Who, friends, I ask you, is the light of the world? Who is that? If Jesus is the light of the world, then Jesus is the light of our eye. And notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Jesus says, the what is the lamp of the body? The eye is the lamp of the body. So Jesus says, if your what? Your eyes, you blind guides, are good. But if your whole body would be full of light. But if your what? Your eyes are bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, Jesus, not Shane, says, how great is that darkness? Think about that with me for a moment, if you would, Chandler Church. If our religion and our profession of faith as Seventh-day Adventist Christians in this world makes us nasty and unpalatable to people around us in our sphere of influence, if the love of God in our hearts and lives makes us legalistic, nasty, unpalatable Christians, how big of a problem do we have? There is no greater inspiration than God. No greater muse than the love of Jesus Christ. And if the love of Jesus Christ in our lives does not make us endearing to those folks out there in the world, friends of mine, I don't know who else can help us. Can you say amen today? You see, the light of God's countenance causes glory and goodness. God described who He was to Moses in Exodus 34 and verse 6. And as God shared with Moses His name, the Bible tells us that the light and the countenance, the glory of God, resonated on Moses' face for quite some time. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, he said, Moses, I can't show you my face because it's just too bright, but I'm going to tell you my name. And then God describes Himself. He says, I am the Lord, a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Friends of mine, a God who describes Himself as such is a God that I can follow. How about you? God is patient. God is love. And God is good. Can you say amen today? And check this out. Whether you are or not, God is good to sinners. And for those of us who know that we are sinners, that's good news. Can you say amen? God is so good to sinners that He creates community with them, that He's patient with them, long-suffering, tender and merciful. And so it is for all of us that are Christian, or even those among you here today that have not consecrated your life to Jesus Christ, who are a leader. When you go out into your business or your office or your sphere of influence, friends of mine, when you love the people that you lead and you serve them through kindness and tenderness, you will have and find yourself followers. Can you say amen? I want to be a leader like that. I know a leader like that. He's in the audience here today, my friend Elder Kingsley Palmer. And I'm saying that here, not just because he's here. He is the director of African American Ministries in the Arizona Conference. And one thing I love about Pastor Palmer, it endears me to him so much. I have never seen that man get angry once. just full of love and tenderness and compassion. And we can be in a meeting or a situation where it's heated and tense, and he'll always diffuse it with a joke or levity or kindness. He has an amazing gift for leadership. Friends of mine, we need to be leaders that create community. Can you say amen? It's the first linkage of leadership, because one thing every good leader has is what? They have followers. But you know what? God's end time church, the lukewarm church, Laodicea, us, we struggle with that. God's end time church does not have the same characteristics of God. In fact, the Bible, John, the revelator, John, who wrote this epistle, he describes us as lukewarm. And I want to ask us today if we know what lukewarm is. You see, very often I hear pastors and preachers and evangelists, even people among my church and congregation, say that the church is lukewarm today. We don't care enough about God or spiritual things. We don't pray enough. We don't study enough. We don't do enough. But you know what, friends? As we look at what lukewarm is, I find and fear that sometimes we get into a repetitive cycle of dysfunction, of blaming one another for not being spiritual enough. And as we blame one another for not being spiritual enough, we divide one another from one another more and more. As Jesus has taken me on this journey, friends of mine, he has opened my eyes to something profound in this passage. When Jesus shares with John that the last day church is lukewarm, I don't believe that they are saying as much about the spirituality of the church as the church's love for one another. It's not the church's love for God, it's the church's love for one another. And John says the same in the same epistle. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John says, if anyone says, I love God, and does what? Hates his brother, he's a what? A liar. For he who does not love his brother who he sees, he cannot love God whom he has seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also do what? Love his brother. Jesus was talking about the love of the church. Jesus himself says so in Matthew 24, verse 12. As Jesus prophesied what the end time church would be like, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound in the world and in the church, the love of many shall do what, church? It will. We're going to get cold. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. Lukewarmness is how we are towards one another. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, as Paul prophesied what the church needed to be like as the nearness of Christ's second coming was approaching, Paul said this. He said, let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and do not neglect our what? Our meeting or our fellowship together, our community, as some do. He's talking about those in the church. But Paul says, encourage one another, especially that the day of his return is drawing near. Can you say amen? Paul wanted the church to remain passionate for one another in love that creates community. If you see that from the Bible, please say amen today. You see, the church of Jesus' day was not passionate for community. In fact, they were not passionate for Jesus. As Jesus preached the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God for them, Jesus said to them in John chapter 7, verse 19 and 20, has not Moses given you the law, but none of you keeps it? Then Jesus says, why are you all trying to kill me? The Bible says in verse 20 that the crowd collectively looks back at Jesus and they say, Jesus, you have a demon. That's what the Bible says. That you would say we are trying to kill you. Now, friends of mine, was Jesus right or wrong? Yes or no? He was right. Amen. Jesus could look into the hearts of people. And very often, friends, it's the little things that betray our deeper motives. Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, it's adultery. And sometimes it's the little things we do to one another in the church that show the church is full of murderers. It's funny sometimes, I'll go to a board meeting, and there's party A at the board meeting, and party B at the board meeting. And party A at the board meeting will make a motion saying, I want to move that water is wet. And party B, just absoluting having total disdain for party A, will say that water is not wet. Every one of us in the room know that water is wet. Help me out, somebody. But because party B hates party A, they want to prove that water is dry. Friends of mine, there's murder in that heart. And Jesus says that we need to have love in these hearts of ours for one another. Jesus says that this last day church is lukewarm. Friends, I am advocating that you read your Bibles, that you pray more, that you study more, and you do more for God. But we can never do more than enough for God. Amen? You can't beat God giving. Amen? The lukewarmness we have in the church is the lukewarmness we have for one another. Help me out, somebody. We come to church. We sit in pews. We don't fellowship. We don't know one another. We don't care about one another. We say happy Sabbath, but there's no passionate connection that creates community. And although we can't see it and are blind to it, all of the millennials and all of those who are secular can. And they say, I want nothing to do with that. When we go home and we badmouth one another and ministers in front of our children and then say, oh, we don't know why our children aren't in church. It's because we're lukewarm and we don't love one another. And Jesus says, because you're lukewarm, you're not hot, you're not in love with one another, a passionate community that causes people to say, I want to be a part of that. Jesus says, not Shane, you make me sick. This is not what I intended you to be. Can you say amen? Friends, when folks come to us, they should see something vibrant. They should see a foretaste of what heaven is like. Not our fights, not our follies, not our quarrels, not our disagreements. They should see the first link of leadership, love that creates community. Can you say amen? Because one thing every good leader has is what, everybody? Followers. You see, I believe this. I believe there's not going to be any lukewarm Christians in heaven. How about you? And when we're in heaven together, we're not going to be there upset that someone else is there. Amen? And if you come to church, hatred in your heart, upset that someone else is in church, friends, you're not going to make it to heaven. We're not going to be in heaven walking on the streets of gold, gossiping with our sister or brother, saying, you know what? I remember how Sarah was on earth. And I know we're in heaven now, but God, I just can't stand that she's here. You're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. We have to have the genuine love of God in our hearts. And if we don't, we're lukewarm. We have to be passionate for God and passionate for one another. Amen? We have to bear one another's burdens. Amen? Encourage one another. Edify one another. We need to, as the apostles did, break bread together daily. Can you say amen? Jesus tells us the ones that are going to be in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the fighters. The peacemakers, because they are going to be called the children of God. Can you say amen today? You know, in the book of Revelation, there is one church in the letters to the seven churches that Jesus has no bad things to say about. It's the church of Philadelphia. What does Philadelphia mean? Brotherly love. Brotherly love. And Jesus says to that church of brotherly love that was not lukewarm for one another, Jesus said, I have an open door for you that no man can close. I believe our churches should be open doors. Amen? I believe our homes should be open doors. Amen. And I believe this with all of my heart, that if God has called you to be a leader and God has called every one of you to lead in your sphere of influence, that our heart for other people should be open doors. Can you say amen today? Conversely, this last day Laodicean church, this church that is us, as it pertains to the blind guide leadership paradigm, how Jesus taught leadership. Jesus says that we say we're rich, we say we're wealthy, we say we need nothing and no one else. And does that describe us as Americans? We're an army of one, each and every one of us. There's no community here like in third world countries. Because we say we need nothing, but we do not know we are wretched, we are miserable, we are poor, we are naked. And what does Jesus say we are? Do we need to learn this? Do we need to understand this paradigm? Yes or no? Jesus wants us to see. Can you say amen? And we recall, friends, that Jesus had leaders back in the day of Acts. We learned this last week, who he was calling to lead and they could not see. Saul of Tarsus was one, and on the road to Damascus, the beauty and the brightness of God's countenance and glory in the form of Jesus Christ blinded him. And as he was blinded, we understand that Jesus, through his Spirit, touched and blessed the life of Saul. We saw in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 that when this same John, who wrote this principle of blindness in his epistle, saw Jesus in vision, symbolically and figuratively, he had seven horns and how many eyes? Seven eyes the Lamb had. And then John said the seven eyes were what? Seven spirits that go out into all of the earth. And we saw last week that for all of us who are blind guides, if we will cling to Jesus, call upon Jesus, hold on to Jesus, adhere to Jesus, and ask Jesus for his latter rain Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, that just as the Spirit of God touched Paul through the prayers of Ananias, and as the Spirit from God came upon him, he was also able to what? He regained his sight. Friends of mine, it's my prayer that as a church and as servant leaders that God has called into this world to complete the gospel commission, that he will open all of our eyes. Can you say amen today? Today, as we complete our sermon series, our journey of growth in discipleship and leadership is not done. Today, at this time, our deacons are going to pass out our final visionary self-reflection card for this last term and last sermon of the Blind Guide series. It is the purple card. It's being passed out at this time by Miss Melody. If you're part of the focus group, please raise your hand and you'll get the special laminated one. As John passes those out quickly, and Miss Tracy and Miss Melody, we're going to each one of us take these throughout the course of the week as we have been. Put it in our Bible. And throughout the course of this week, in our devotions, in our studies, in our reflection, we're going to look through this visionary self-reflection card. And as part of our prayers, as part of our spiritual meditations, we're going to reflect on this week's teaching. As these visionary self-reflection cards are being passed out, it is number 7 in your series. And the verse for reflection was found in the epistle or the letter of John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And today we learned the first linkage of leadership. And today, leaders, the first linkage of leadership is what, everyone? It is community. Can you say amen? The first linkage of leadership is what? Community. Love that creates community. And linkages leadership principle, community's leadership principle is this. One thing that every good leader has is what? It is followers. These are our three prayers, our three meditations throughout the course of this week that we might grow and develop in our spirituality. Number one is this. Number one is this. Lord, help me to recognize those to whom I have lacked compassion. Can you say amen? Each and every one of us have had callousness in our hearts towards certain people, certain groups, certain persuasions, just like in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Many of us, friends, have sins of omission. Not the things we commit, but the acts of love that we neglect to do. Are you with me? And we need to ask God through His Spirit, God, show me where I have failed to act, where I have failed to recognize those who needed my compassion and I did not give it. Number two is this, our second prayer throughout the course of this week that we might see again is this. Number two, Lord, help me to realize the times when I have harbored hatred in my heart. We need to know that, amen? And when it happens, we need to turn that over to God, that God might turn us into a person who loves like Jesus. God, show me when and where I harbor hatred in my heart. Hatred is not going to make it into heaven. Do you believe that today, Chandler? And God needs to cure us of that, absolve us of that, heal us of that. Ask Him that we might not be blind and walk in the darkness. Lord, help me to realize the times that I have harbored hatred in my heart. The last of this, number three, Lord, help me to see how I can love people better as You are calling me to lead. Can you say amen to that? How many of us believe today that we are leaders by a show of hands? Each and every one of those hands better be raised. God is calling you to lead. And the way that you can lead is as Jesus did, by loving. Napoleon saw that the world of followers of Jesus Christ would lay down their lives for Him because of the way that he loved. And as leaders, we need to learn to love like that. Can you say amen? Love like that creates community. And community is the first link of leadership.